good to see you all. Pity's about the weather, but there we are. We can't have everything, but we're here back here. It's good to see Diane here as well.
Thank you.
She's been faithful to us. She's been a little gem over the last few months.
Well, you've been a little gem to me as well. It's been returned.
It's good for her to be here. And she prayed that God will bless us through her ministry. We do have a good Friday service, but that will be on Zoom. Hopefully it'll be the last Zoom service we have for some while. And that'll be at 10:30 on Friday morning. So the Zoom details are in the newsletter. There is a new newsletter coming out in the next couple of days. In fact, there's some copies at the back now for those who don't receive them by email. Next Sunday is Easter Sunday. Hallelujah. I'll be leading that particular service, 10:30, and we'll have sacraments as well. And the plan is that we continue, God willing, to meet in church indefinitely. And hopefully there'll be no fourth or third lockdown or whatever lockdown there is. So, Diane, over to you.
Thank you very much. Well, it's lovely to be here. I believe there's a little problem with the...
Oh, I forgot to mention that. The PA system has decided to pack up during the last 3 months. When it was trying on, was it yesterday? It wasn't working. The lights are on, but there's nothing happening, so... It's another job for this week. So Diane's got to speak loudly, and everything else is going to play through the organ.
So I hope you... Can you all hear me?
Yeah.
Right, good. Well, the gentleman at the back, I don't recognise you being out of a little box with your name at the bottom.
Godfrey.
Oh, is that God? Hello, Godfrey. You wave if my voice drops. But it is, it's lovely. And, you know, after seeing Boris Johnson on television last night, I felt quite encouraged because I thought... If he can go on national television with hair looking like that, I needn't be embarrassed about how mine looks. But, you know, Palm Sunday is considered a day of celebration. And so it is today as we return to worshipping together in person in the fellowship and love we have through Christ. Let us pray. Let us come with enthusiasm to meet the Lord today. Let us pour out our love and our praise and bring the best we can offer to our generous God. Lord of all, when Jesus entered into Jerusalem, the people welcomed him with praise and gave him the best they could offer. As we gather here, we ask you, Lord, to fill our hearts with joy and love. Help us to understand what it means to give freely and extravagantly of our time, our treasure, and our talents. But most of all, Lord, inspire us to give you our praise. Amen. We're going to read Psalm 118, and you'll find it in your Bibles if you want to follow on page 616. Psalm 118. Give thanks to the Lord, for he is good. His love endures forever. Let Israel say, his love endures forever. Let's move on to verse 19. Open for me the gates of the righteous. I will enter and give thanks to the Lord. This is the gate of the Lord through which the righteous may enter. I will give you thanks for you answer me. You have become my salvation. The stone the builders rejected has become the cornerstone. And the Lord has done this, and it is marvelous in our eyes. The Lord has done it this very day. Let us rejoice today and be glad. Lord, save us. Lord, grant us success. Blessed is he who comes in the name of the Lord. From the house of the Lord, we bless you. The Lord is God, and he has made his light shine on us. With boughs in hand, join in the festal procession up to the horns of the altar. You are my God, and I will praise you. You are my God, and I will exalt you. Give thanks to the Lord, for he is good. His love endures forever. And this psalm is thought to be a royal psalm of thanksgiving, and it was often sung at processions when people led a procession into Jerusalem. And it was probably the psalm that was being sung at that first Palm Sunday. And you know, it's only by God's grace and his love that we can come into his presence this morning and celebrate the victory over death achieved through Christ. And we're going to listen to hymn. It's 914 in Mission Praise, Only by Grace.
Thank you.
Let us pray. In our mind's eye, let us imagine approaching a great set of gates. They are high and strong, designed to keep people out. Let us imagine reaching out to shake these gates. They are locked. We cannot get in. We do not feel welcome. Lord, we thank you that when we come to worship you, it's like having a pair of gates opening in front of us. No one who wants to come to you need ever feel shut out or left behind. As we offer you our praise and our worship, help us to do so with glad and thankful hearts, rejoicing in the welcome that you give to all who come. And Lord, what a wonderful moment it must have been to stand in the crowd and welcome Jesus. We cannot do that as the people did, but we can still offer you our prayers of praise and worship. We know that you love us. You made the wonderful world in which we live. You gave us families, lives, work to do. And all through history, you have longed for people to reach out to you and respond to the love that you offer. We praise you because when we look at Jesus, we can see how much you love us, caring for every person as an individual and valuing every part of human life. We praise you because your love for us was so great that Jesus died on the cross for us. And Lord, we have brought our offerings to you this morning, either through the banking system or in cash. Use those gifts and ourselves for the witness and work you have for each one of us through the unity of worship in this church. Amen. Our New Testament reading is from Mark's Gospel, page 1016. And it's Jesus comes to Jerusalem. Mark chapter 11, page 1016. As they approached Jerusalem and came to Bethphage and Bethany at the Mount of Olives, Jesus sent two of his disciples, saying to them, "Go to the village ahead of you, and just as you enter it, you'll find a colt tied there, which no one has ever ridden. Untie it and bring it here. If anyone asks you, 'What are you doing?' say this, 'The Lord needs it and will send it back here shortly.' They went and found a colt outside the street, tied at a doorway. As they untied it, some people standing there asked, 'What are you doing untying that colt?' They answered as Jesus had told them to, and the people let them go. When they brought the colt to Jesus and threw their cloaks over it, he sat on it. Many people spread their cloaks on the road, while others spread branches they had cut in the fields. Those who went ahead and those who followed shouted, 'Hosanna! Blessed is he who comes in the name of the Lord. Blessed is the coming kingdom of our father David. Hosanna in the highest heaven.' Jesus entered Jerusalem and went into the temple courts. He looked around at everything, but since it was already late, he went out to Bethany with the 12. When I was looking to prepare this service, I came across this hymn, and it sums up about how we have to listen to God's voice. The people listened to what the disciples said about the colt, and the disciples listened to what Jesus told them to do. And this one is actually in Singing the Faith, but listen to the words. They are absolutely amazing. And I'd like to bring your attention especially to the last verse. "Will you watch the news with the eyes of faith and believe it could be different? Will you share your views using words of grace? Will you leave a thoughtful imprint?" And the hymn's called "Have You Heard God's Voice?" Demonstration we heard about in Bristol started peacefully, but as darkness came, the demonstration turned violent and it soon became a hostile event. The crowd greeting Jesus as he rode into Jerusalem were peaceful. On the Friday, they were shouting for him to be crucified. Mark tells us in his gospel that Jesus entered into Jerusalem, cheered on by a crowd. They were in a celebratory mood and responded generously by throwing their cloaks on the ground and waving palms as he progressed towards the temple in Jerusalem. Later that week, Mark tells us about another crowd. In chapter 15, he says, "Do you want me to release to you the King of the Jews?" asked Pilate, knowing it was out of self-interest that the chief priests had handed Jesus over to him. But the chief priests stirred up the crowd to have Pilate release Barabbas instead. On that occasion, the chief priests manipulated the crowd to suit their purpose. Processions to Jerusalem were not an unusual event. Military giants such as Alexander the Great and Judas Maccabeus entered the city in a victorious procession. They and many others after them were met by dignitaries and ended up in the temple either purifying it or offering a sacrifice. But Jesus' entry was not acknowledged by the authorities in this way. They may have decided not to make a fuss of Jesus and bring attention to him. Or they could have been plotting how to handle this popular prophet. The following day, they knew that Jesus was going to be a major problem after his outburst of anger in the temple as he turns over the moneylenders' tables and releases the animals that are to be sacrificed. The crowd cheered Jesus as he rode by. They shouted, "Hosanna, save us." And these were words used by people shouting for help and protection from their king. And they were used when a great battle had been won and was shouted in great anticipation of what, in the minds of the crowd, was to come. This crowd saw Jesus as the Messiah, someone they had been expecting for a long time. In their eyes, he was the one who was going to save them from the hands of the Roman oppressor. And this is where we see the start of a misunderstanding of the people and one that led to Jesus' death. And of course, watching over all the incidents are the priests of the temple. They're not cheering and shouting. Rather, they are seeing Jesus as a great threat to their power. And the writing is already on the wall for Jesus. Although Mark does not directly quote the prophecy from Zechariah chapter 9, there is a clear suggestion in his writing about this prophecy. So why is this event that we call Palm Sunday an important one to remember? Debbie McDaniel, a writer and a pastor's wife, wrote about the significance of Palm Sunday. She said, "On the heels of Palm Sunday, as we begin this holy week, may we constantly be reminded of its significance and value for our lives today. That very important date in history when Jesus began his journey towards the cross." Now, this was a journey Jesus knew the ending was, but he also knew that that ending of that journey would lead to a tremendous victory. Now, Zechariah, it's one of those little books at the back of the Old Testament, and it's often quoted from at this time of the year, showing that Jesus was fulfilling the prophecies of long ago. And following on from that, one can assume that the Jews in Jesus' day knew their Old Testament scriptures and would make that link themselves. Zechariah is quite a fascinating book, and along with Haggai, it tells of the message given to Israel then, and it is actually a very, very appropriate message for today. Mark tells his readers about Jesus' entry into Jerusalem, and as I said, he strongly points to the verses in Zechariah 9, and those verses, "Rejoice greatly, daughter Zion. Shout, daughter Jerusalem. See, your king comes to you, righteous and victorious, lowly and riding on a donkey, on a colt, the foal of a donkey." And 500 years before Jesus rode into Jerusalem, the prophet Zechariah said that one day there would be a day like that. And that ancient promise was etched indelibly in the minds of the glory-starved nation of Israel. For 500 years they had kept an eye out for David's successor to gallop into town, assume the throne, and change their sad song. Would this be the day? As Jesus rode into this capital city, tourists from all over Israel lined the streets and all cheered wildly. And the faithful cut down palm branches and spread them over the road, just as their ancestors had done over 150 years before. And that was when they acknowledged a national triumph when the Maccabees finally completed the overthrow of the Syrian Antiochus Epiphanes. And he was a bit of a nasty one. He forbade the practice of the Jewish faith on pain of death. And he'd taken over the Jewish temple in Jerusalem and dedicated it to the worship of Zeus. Zeus. Sorry, I do have a problem with all these funny pronunciations. Even though I read them before, I don't know. But yeah, he was a bit of a nasty one, he was. And the crowds remembered all this and they shouted, "Hosanna, Hosanna, save us, please," to Jesus, because they thought he was the one coming from the line of David and he would fulfill all their hope. The crowds lining the route of the procession should be commended for their enthusiasm. They were not just there because they loved a good parade. They were there because they wanted to believe that they had hope, that their hope for a better future was going to be fulfilled through Jesus. 12 months ago, we found ourselves in the grip of a pandemic, hoping it would soon end. And we carry on hoping that our hope that it will end will soon be fulfilled. So what does this word hope mean? Well, if you look in the dictionary, it says it defines hope as close to wish, like to cherish a desire with anticipation, to want something to happen or to be true. Whatever the details about hope, hope in general means a desire for things to change for the better and to look what better situation can come out of a situation. And that is what hope briefly means. But let's look a little bit more at that word. We often commonly use it meaning I wish for. But the strength of hope is the strength of the person's desire. In the Bible, hope is the confident expectation of what God has promised, and its strength is in his faithfulness. Hope is always accompanied by faith. Faith is almost always accompanied by hope, but not always. And people need to have faith because they need hope. Do you remember the story about Pandora and a box? Mythology has her as a lady endowed with every charm, a gift from the gods. She was sent to Earth with a little box which she had been forbidden to open. But curiosity finally got the better of her. Pandora, unable to contain her curiosity, opens the box. And as she does so, releases sickness, death, and all manner of misfortunes and evils into the world. But she closes the lid just before hope could escape. And according to Hesiod, he was a Greek poet, Zeus willed that hope should stay inside because he wanted mortals to suffer in order to understand that they should not disobey their gods. Hope had sustained the Israelites faithful from generation to generation. It was hope that energized the crowd along Jesus' parade route that day. Hope is, it seems, a bit of a fragile commodity. By the end of that week, the hopeful crowds have disappeared and been replaced by a few faithful friends gathered on a hill outside Jerusalem called Calvary. The crowd had lost hope. Have you ever lost hope in anything? To have our hopes raised, only to see them dashed again, is a cruel experience. And the result can plunge a person into despair deeper than anything previously faced. And a cynic would say that those who would live on hope will soon starve to death. Paul speaks of three great Christian gifts: faith, love, and hope. We hear a lot about faith and love. Hope seems to be a bit of the poor relation, seldom getting much of a mention. Yet what would life be like without it? What would life be like without the hope that God gives us? And this hope is not a reference to a daydreaming type of hope, thinking, oh, perhaps things will get better. It is a hope that God gives us, a confidence in the future. And that confidence is based on our present experience of his love. We don't know precise details of what the future holds, nor do we need to know this. But one thing we do know about the future is that we have the assurance that God is at work in our lives, and that one day his purpose for mankind will be fulfilled. That is the gift of hope God gave us through his Son Jesus. We're going to listen to a hymn appropriate for Palm Sunday. It's a lovely one by Graham Kendrick. It's in Mission Praise 457, and it's "Make Way, Make Way for Christ the King in Slender Arrives." Sorry? I know, I've just noticed I've messed up the numbers. I was hoping it would pass without comment. What have I put down?
Well, you put 247, but there was no words. So.
Right, oh dear.
How lovely is thy dwelling place?
Sorry?
How lovely is thy dwelling place?
Oh, well, hang on. 247. It wouldn't be one of my services if it didn't mess up the numbers of the hymns. Well, how lovely is thy dwelling place is just as appropriate, because we've got the hope that one day the kingdom of God will actually come here on earth, and that we will also enter the kingdom of God in heaven. So it is a lovely house, a lovely dwelling place we can hope to go to one day. That is certainly a much better hymn than the one I thought I'd chosen, because it just sums up the hope we have in God. It is an absolutely beautiful hymn about that hope that one day will be fulfilled through God. That is a lovely hymn. I've not heard it before, have you?
No,
it's lovely. It's lovely. And also, I know it's awful not being able to sing, but it's good that we can actually focus on the amazing words we've been given by these hymn writers. I'll have to add a PS when I pray over my services that God makes sure I get the right hymn numbers. But then again, he sorted that hymn out. It is amazing, that. So let us pray. Lord, we praise and thank you for the progress that has been made in the COVID vaccination programme. And we pray, Lord, for those in our health services who have been under additional pressure as a result of this pandemic. We praise and thank you for the churches that have been able to reopen for worship and for creative ways which have been found to unite people in prayer and worship. And Lord, we pray for those who feel isolated, who long to gather with others who cannot access online worship. Lord, in your mercy, hear our prayer. And Lord, we praise and thank you for the signs of spring, for crocuses and daffodils and all the green shoots of growth we see around. We pray for gardeners, for those who look after parks and public verges, for those who keep our streets clean and make our communities more pleasant. And Lord, we praise and thank you for the message of hope, encouragement and peace that Jesus brings. We pray for those who are fearful for the future, those who have lost direction in life, and those whose lives are troubled. And we pray especially, Lord, for this church moving on in faith through this pandemic. We thank you for the reduction in deaths due to this virus, and that we are starting on the road out of lockdown. And Lord, we pray for the people of Myanmar, the violence, the death that is happening in that country. It breaks our hearts, Lord, and it most certainly must break your heart to see what is happening there. We pray, Lord, that peace will come soon to that place. And also, Lord, there are so many other areas of the world where there is violence. We pray your peace will come to them. And Lord, we pray for the businesses of our country and other countries as well, as they struggle with the financial burden this pandemic has put upon them. Let's have a moment of silence where we can bring our thoughts and prayers to God. Lord, receive our prayers. Amen. Let's just pray the Lord's Prayer. Our Father who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done, on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our trespasses, as we forgive those who trespass against us. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom, the power, and the glory, for ever and ever. Amen. Just check I've got the last hymn number correct. 242. Hosanna. Yay. We started our service with a praise to God, a hosanna to him from that amazing psalm. And as we close our service, we're again shouting praises to our... Well, we can't shout, but in your head, you can shout praises to God. As we listen to the words of Hosanna, Hosanna, Hosanna in the highest. It's number 242. Your palms out. Gracious God, we thank you for bringing us together today. Send us out of this place full of love, joy, and hope. Let our enthusiasm be infectious to those we meet, and may others be drawn to you, especially in this most holy of weeks. And may the grace of our Lord Jesus Christ, and the love of God, and the fellowship of the Holy Spirit be with us all, now and forevermore. Amen.